So as mentioned, we turned for our text this morning to Matthew 13 again. We remember 2 weeks ago, we started looking at Matthew 13 as that chapter in which Christ shares a number of parables about the kingdom of heaven. At that time, we looked at how the kingdom is like a mustard seed and how it's like yeast. This time, we'll look at how it is a hidden treasure and a pearl. So Matthew 13, verses 44 through 46. The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again, and then in his joy went and sold all he had and bought that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. When he found one of great value, he went away and sold everything he had and bought it. That is the word of God for this morning. The congregation in our Lord Jesus Christ. In the last couple of weeks, while I knew I was most likely going to preach on this passage, and I was looking at the news, two stories stood out in which, of course, people find surprising treasure. Now, one of these stories actually even originated here in BC. Someone was scanning a park near UBC in Vancouver with his metal detector. And as he was going along, he started getting a signal, and he realized, okay, something's here buried in the ground. So he got down, he dug it up, and he started looking at it. And what it was this small coin. But here's the crazy part. Because guess what kind of old coin it was? This man, Chris Monk, went home to look at the coin a little bit more closely, and he realized that this was a Roman coin, and he got it checked out, saying, yes, this is an original Roman coin from the 2nd century AD. How did it get there? It makes me wonder if maybe at some time some professor from UBC was out for a stroll in the park nearby and maybe playing with his favorite coin a little bit too much, throwing it up or something, and there he went, lost it. So, of course, that or Asterix and Obelix dropped it when they visited America, because for the rest, I have no idea which other Romans would have visited BC. Whichever one is more likely. Somehow, this coin made it all the way from Europe to BC and then found by someone with a metal detector. A surprising find. Now, Jesus, addressing his disciples and crowds around him, compares the kingdom of heaven to a buried treasure and a merchant searching, looking for the finest pearls. Finding, entering the kingdom of heaven is like finding the treasure of a lifetime. We often look at the world and at our lives in terms of value. You know, what is this worth? What is this going to cost? And in these two parables, Jesus calls us to consider the value of the kingdom of heaven. And so our theme this morning is the teachings of Jesus Christ, the value of the kingdom of heaven. 2 points. The kingdom of heaven is like a hidden treasure. And secondly, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. So first, the kingdom of heaven is like a hidden treasure. Now, of course, I mentioned that story about the metal detector and the coin as if like these things still happen today. But the fact is that in our day and age, it's not very likely to happen. There aren't incredible amounts of coins just buried around in BC, just waiting to be found. Very unlikely in our day and age, and also really in where we live. But when Jesus spoke to the people about the kingdom of heaven as a buried or hidden treasure, it wasn't that far-fetched or that unlikely. In a world that didn't have a fully developed banking system, and no, you know, fireproof safety boxes. But it did have its fair share of robbers, of wars, of other calamities. You know, where do you keep your valuables? Burying it in a field wasn't that crazy. And it was actually maybe one of the smarter options. Don't bury it in your home. Don't put it in a mattress. That's where the first thing that they're going to look. Put it somewhere in a field, and maybe it'll be there for when you need it later. And so Jesus says, "The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again, and then in his joy went and sold all he had and bought that field." Jesus tells us to picture a man. He goes off to work in some field. It's probably then not his own field, maybe his employer or whoever else, his neighbor. And he goes to work. Maybe, you know, he's plowing the field in spring, getting it ready. Maybe he's just in the orchard. He's digging a hole for some more trees. And as he goes to work, suddenly he hears something. He hits something hard. Now, of course, you'd think that's just going to be a rock, but this time it sounds a little bit different. It's not quite that. Maybe it was the sound of pottery breaking. So he investigates, starts to get down on his knees. He moves some of the dirt away to try to figure out what was actually there. And before you know it, there he is. He has golden, silver coins in his hand. He has some jewelry, some precious stones. He's found a treasure. It's all right there, just hidden in this field. But now he starts to think, "This is great, I found it, but how can I make this my own treasure? How can I get possession of it?" And so he concocts a plan. He hides the treasure again, he covers it up, goes on with his work as if nothing had been found, as if nothing had happened. He's so giddy, he can't wait for the work day to be over. And he goes home, and he starts making preparation. He lists his house, he's going to sell it, he gets rid of his donkey, maybe whatever chickens he had, he sells it all. People think he's crazy because here he is selling it. Or they think he's going to move, because why else are you selling your house and everything that you own? And yet he's doing this so joyfully. They don't understand. But once he has sold everything, he has enough money to buy that piece of land. He goes to the owner. There's nothing special about that land, it seems. Just he wants it desperately. And when the papers are signed, the ownership is transferred. The man goes and finds back that treasure. The treasure, that wonderful treasure. It's his. Now, even if we can imagine that, yes, in Jesus' day, there might have been treasures buried in the field, we're likely still wondering, as we've read this passage, about the actions of this man. He finds a treasure, then he buries it again, and waits until he can get all of the land to then reveal it, to find it again. In some ways, maybe it sounds dishonest, and for us, it's maybe hard to know. Most likely, though, according to Jewish laws and customs of the time, that's kind of the way you would go about it. A buried treasure can be owned by whoever owns the property. No need to put up posters saying, "Oh, I found a treasure." No, this is basically finders keepers, just as long as you own the land. And that's what the man then does. Even though it has to really cost him everything, he has to sell all of it. He says, "I'm going to make this land my own so that the treasure may be mine." And Jesus says the kingdom of heaven is like such a hidden treasure. Like that hidden treasure, the kingdom of heaven has incredible value. Incredible value. Consider what it means as Jesus goes around preaching, teaching, as we know what he does throughout his life, and what that means. He preaches about this kingdom of heaven that's coming and has come through him. And what is he saying? He says, the gates of heaven have been opened. Opened through Jesus Christ. He says, repent, believe, but you can enter the kingdom of heaven. That the Lord, the King of this heavenly, glorious kingdom says, come. Come, join my kingdom. I'm ready to receive you. And what do you get in the kingdom of heaven? Do you go there to become a servant? No. Is it like a kingdom where, you know, you can go, but you're going to be a permanent resident for the rest of your life? No. A citizen? Yes, but more than that. Is it that you're going to get a title, a knighthood, land, money? Now think about what the kingdom of heaven really is about. God calls you to be his holy, beloved children, his heirs, the rightful inheritors of his kingdom. There's incredible value in entering and becoming God's children. And like the hidden treasure, the kingdom of heaven is up for grabs in a surprising way. It's not just valuable, it is up for grabs in a surprising way. We all end up as members, as believers in the kingdom of heaven, most likely in different ways. Unique ways, maybe even. You know, some believers may find that it truly is that hidden treasure. Something that surprises them later in life. They hear maybe a sermon. They start reading their Bible. They have conversations, realize, wow, this is what I've been missing out on all of my life. Where has this been? It's that hidden treasure. Suddenly, in a flash of some glimpse of God's glory, they realize how precious and valuable it is and how God is calling them. Many of us may have a different experience. We grow up in the faith. We have faithful families. And yet still, maybe more gradually, but our faith grows and it deepens. And we start to realize, like, yes, as we were younger and as we grew old, we always knew that this was a treasure, but how deep it really was, how valuable it really was, that just continues to grow as we learn and as the Spirit works in us. We always start finding these new treasures that come with belonging to Jesus Christ and being part of the kingdom of heaven. But regardless, however, the kingdom is always God's wonderful, surprising work towards us. Because we have to recognize that because of sin, by nature, we are God's enemies and we are rebels and we are outside of this kingdom. And that the only reason why Jesus Christ is telling us, come, this treasure may be yours, is because he has paid the penalty. That we can walk through the gates of God's kingdom because of the life and death of Jesus Christ. There's a way back into God's kingdom, a way back into his presence. That is a wonderful, surprising thing. Like that rush, excitement of digging up a treasure hidden in a field. Kingdom of heaven has incredible value. It's up for grabs in a surprising way. It's also worth pursuing, making it your own. The kingdom of heaven has incredible value, and that ought to get us thinking. How are we going to make that kingdom our own? How can we hold on to such a great treasure? This man in the parable sold all that he had just so that he can claim that land, make it his own, and get that treasure. Convinced that whatever that land was going to cost, it was going to be worth it because of the treasure that was there. He was determined. He had a plan. He bought that field. How easily it is for us to perhaps get the fact that there is this treasure. But unlike the man, kind of go like, oh, that's too much of a hassle to make it our own. Or not think about it twice. How easy it is for us to agree that, yes, the gospel, this kingdom of heaven is worthy. Jesus Christ is precious above all. And yet walk away unchanged. Saying maybe even yes. Yes, it's true. The gospel is wonderful, valuable, surprising, a real treasure. but struggling to make it our own. Maybe it's because we don't want to pay the price of grabbing this opportunity. Still thinking like, well, I could have this treasure, but I could also, in this kingdom, but I could also have my own treasures in my own kingdom. The ones that I work for. The things that I have pleasure in. And missing out on the treasure. How valuable is the kingdom of heaven to you? How valuable is the kingdom to you? What would you be willing to give up for your own? What is it that you are giving up to make it your own? Are we believers who are at heart all in on that one treasure? Or have we perhaps become enamored by any other number of other treasures that we wouldn't want to part with for the sake of the treasures of Jesus Christ? Now, there is another parable that Jesus told, similar message. It's that merchant looking for precious pearls. Jesus says, again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. When he found one of great value, he went away and sold everything he had and bought it. Now, I told you there were two stories that in the last couple weeks stood out because they were surprising treasures. Now, the other story was that of an antique enthusiast who learned that the bull that he had bought for $35 at some yard sale was actually worth like $300,000 to like $500,000. It was a bowl, not a vase, but I have to mention vase because it is in the words to look for. He found this bowl. And of course, like when he looked at it and he saw it at a yard sale, he thought, you know, maybe this is something special. So of course he bought it and then got it assessed. And his hopes for this bowl were more than fulfilled. I mean, here, he had snatched that up for $35, and it's maybe even worth $500,000. Now, in many ways, okay, this story isn't quite like the parable that Jesus told, but there is one important similarity. Both the pearl merchant and the antique enthusiast, they both search. They search for something of value. They search for something that stands out, that may be special. They may have to drive and drive. They may have to search and search, go through all kinds of junk, maybe even, or things just of lesser value. But when they found something special, they go ahead, they buy it, and there's this thrill, the excitement of having found something of supreme value. Now, in Jesus' parable, it's this merchant. It's a merchant looking for pearls. Now, pearls, we probably know, are and also were incredibly valuable. It's one of these beautiful things that nature creates, but because it's created by nature, there's always some variety in it. It means there's different kinds of quality, size, color. As a pearl merchant, you might travel around visiting markets. You go through a selection of pearls from the Red Sea and you realize, those aren't quite top of the line. You may be going around the Middle East looking for those that are great value off the coasts of India, Sri Lanka, something like it. And are you waiting for them to kind of make their way through other merchants to the Middle East? You just go and over a lifetime of buying and selling pearls, probably at the end you think like, oh, here I am. I've seen them all. But then you come across this pearl in some maybe little stall, a little bazaar there in Antioch. And there it is. The most wonderful pearl you have ever seen. This is a perfect color, just a great size, no blemishes at all. It's beautiful, invaluable. You know it on first sight. And the more that you study it, the more you're like, yes, this is a one of a kind. To buy it, you have to sell everything. But you walk away with the best pearl of them all. You found your life's treasure. And Jesus tells us the kingdom of heaven is like that. It's finding that finest pearl, your life's treasure, like the treasure hidden in a field. It's worth selling all of it just to make it your own. Its incredible value is worth the price. Now, in connection with this, we also read in our reading from Matthew 6, because there also Jesus tells us to seek first the kingdom of heaven and its righteousness. But Jesus says he knows his disciples, he knows us, he knows the world has lots to offer, that we're looking for value, thinking of our daily needs, and he mentions food, clothing, drink, all of these things that may be our worries, our cares, our concerns, the things that we worry about for the future and we try to plan for. All of it gets a hold of us, and we search for the best way forward, for the best value in it all. And Jesus says, be like this merchant of pearls. Keep your eye on the goal. Seek the kingdom of God first and its righteousness, and all of these other things will be given unto you. Seek that fine pearl. Seek the finest pearl. Don't get carried away with everything that's of lesser value. And spend your life on what may have only temporary value. Seek that which has eternal, lasting value. Just like seek the kingdom of heaven, like that merchant seeking the finest pearls. You can just even think about this. If you were an unbeliever and you're listening to Jesus Christ and you heard him talk about the kingdom of heaven as a buried treasure, I think one of the natural questions would be, you know, where do I find that treasure then? If it's hidden in a field, like, do I just find it by dumb luck? And Jesus goes on to talk about this merchant of seeking for pearls. The wonderful news is that you don't have to be lucky to find the kingdom of heaven. Jesus says, look for it. Seek Jesus Christ. Listen to him. Follow him. Be like the merchant, searching, testing, just for the finest pearl. And consider what Jesus teaches us. Consider what he has given us. Consider the kingdom of heaven and what that actually means for you. Is there any pearl? Is there any kingdom that is going to be finer? Any more valuable? Any other that's actually worth living for once you find Jesus Christ? A Savior who offers you a kingdom you did not deserve, who forgives you your sins, that you, even though they most certainly deserve death. A Lord who embraces you as a brother and sister and says, come, enjoy my inheritance with me. Who offers you a kingdom that comes with power and with wisdom, with incredible grace and justice and blessing. The kingdom in which God is the most glorious and blessed King. What else are you looking for? And yet I think throughout human life, there's always different times, different stages in which we start searching. And Jesus mentions we are concerned about food, drink, clothing, all of that. I think that would be one of the things, but also deeper questions. Especially in our day and age, we often have food, drink, clothing, some sense of security there. We maybe are looking for different things. No, value, identity, sense of accomplishment. You may be a younger teenager or getting into your 20s. You may be searching for, you know, what is true, what is right? What should I believe? Maybe a bit older, and you're wondering, okay, so what is worth working and living for? What is work, family, worth? Maybe we're older, near the end of our life, and we're searching for a way in which to understand our lives, to understand the world, to have a sense of an accomplishment. It was a life well lived. So often, we actually end up being like that merchant of pearls, going, searching, waiting, testing. And in your searching, do not neglect the kingdom of heaven. Don't neglect or overlook Jesus Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge and much, much more. Don't settle for less than the finest pearl, worth selling and leaving behind everything else of lesser value. I mentioned stories of surprising treasures, and we might wish that we were the ones who found that coin or who had bought that bowl. You know, that idea that there's still treasures out there waiting to be found. It's exciting. But listen to Jesus Christ. Understand his parables. Don't go through life empty-handed looking for what may be. The kingdom of heaven is for you and me through our wonderful Savior, Jesus Christ. Seek it. Rejoice in its value, in its surprising way in which it comes to us in him. Rejoice in its beauty, its glory, and make it your own, your life's treasure. Amen.